السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. رسالة الدرر الشريف. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله, one of the great scholars of Islam, he says, he teaches us a very important principle, and he says that victory or being victorious isn't restricted to the usual sense of defeating one's opponent or gaining dominance. I'll repeat that once again. Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says, victory or becoming victorious isn't restricted to the usual sense. But usually we would think, we assume, this is our mindset, that a victorious person is the one who has the most followers, who has the most power, who defeats the opponent, who shines brighter, who has much more kingdom, much more wealth, and is able to overpower, is able to defeat, is able to fight, is able to gain more land and political dominance. This is our understanding of victory. He's telling us something very different. Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he is saying that victory or being victorious isn't restricted to the usual sense of defeating one's opponent and gaining dominance. He says it is broader than that. It is broader than that. And then he brings an ayah of the Quran wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ سَبَقَتْ كَلِمَتُنَا لِعِبَانِنَا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we already decided this for our messengers. This word of mine, this decision of mine, this declaration of mine has already gone forth. Meaning this is something done and dusted, decided. What? What is it? When Allah has done and dusted something, when Allah has endorsed something, there's no changing. There's no altering of that. That is it. It's sealed. It's stamped. It's approved by Allah. What is it? What did he say? إِنَّهُمْ لَهُمُ الْمَنْصُورُونَ. My prophets will always be victorious. This is Allah's promise. إِنَّهُمْ لَهُمُ الْمَنْصُورُونَ. That they indeed will always be victorious. Now, there's an objection that stands here, or a question that arises, that how can the prophets be described as victorious when many of them were slain, many of them were killed, many of them were martyred, many of them were cut in two, many of them didn't even have any followers, and many of them were not even able to propagate their message to more than a handful of people. Yet Allah is saying what? وَلَقَدْ سَبَقَتْ كَلِمَتُنَا لِعِبَادِنَا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. What did he say? إِنَّهُمْ لَهُمُ الْمَنْصُورُونَ. You know, if you open the Quran and you look at Surah Hud, this was a very special surah because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he would refer to the Quran, he would say, شَيَّبَتْنِي هُود وَأَخَوَاتُهَا. Surah Hud has made my hair white. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a total of 19 white strands of hair on his blessed hair and beard. Sahaba counted. They were very meticulous in their love and the passion for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he says, I'm not old. He was only 63. It's not old age. It's the description which I read in Surah Hud, which has made me the way I am and the way you see me. So when you look at Surah Hud, one thing you find a mention of the prophets. The prophets, the same prophets that Allah has spoken about, the Mursaleen. You find a mention of the prophets. You find a mention of how they preached to their people. And then you find a mention of how their people dealt with them. And then you see what happened in the end. I give you an example. Surah Hud makes mention of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. And it says that for 950 years, Prophet Nuh alayhi salam continued inviting his people to Allah. He called them during the day, he called them during the night. He invited them openly. He invited them secretly. He spoke to them on a public level, on a private level. They would put their fingers in their ears. Nuh alayhi salam would scream to them. They would cover themselves with their clothing. Nuh alayhi salam would still continue speaking to them. Do you know how long he carried on doing this for? 950 years. 950 years. Nuh alayhi salam continues. They swear at him. They throw things at him. They shut the door on his face. But he continued saying the same message. His message didn't change. Our message does not change. Our message will not change. We are Muslims. We are people of La ilaha illallah. We don't change. We're not colorful. That one day we're this color, tomorrow we're going to be a different color. Our message stays the same. Nuh alayhi salam. I want you to comprehend 950 years. And after 950 years of being persistent, of being patient, of perseverance, of calling on the same message again and again. How many people accepted his call? A handful of people. Scholars say no more than 80 people. If you and I were there, what would we say? Let's put Nuh alayhi salam to a side for a moment. We'll come back to Nuh alayhi salam. Because as Muslims, we have a very special reverence for the prophets. Will never utter anything that goes against the status of the Prophet. So for a moment, I want you to leave the story of Nuh alayhi salam. And I want you to just imagine if somebody was doing something like this for this period of time, and people were not... And by the way, the Quran is telling us people were putting their fingers in their ears. They're not listening. You know, when you've worked for that long, you know people are not going to listen anymore. But did he stop? No, he carried on and on and on. Why? Because he understood and he knew that the result and the outcome isn't in his hands. That's Allah. That's up to Allah. What's his duty? What's his responsibility? His responsibility was to strive, to work, to call the people, to continue. Allah told him, invite the people. And he carried on and he continued for 950 years. And then when it didn't happen and it just didn't work after 950 years, he made a dua to Allah. And you know the story, what happens. A handful of, even his own son didn't believe in him. His own wife didn't believe in him. And he carried on. And many a times we have, when we stand up for justice, we stand up for the truth. The first people to stand in your path are your own family members. Oh, don't do this, you're going to lose your job. Don't do this, you're going to get a bad reputation. This is fardul kifaya now. It's not a matter of optional. To stand up for the injustice which is happening, this is an obligation on the ummah. A group from the ummah must be doing this. This is no optional task now. This is no voluntary work. Oh, if you're going to do some voluntary... No, this is not voluntary. This is no longer voluntary. Whatever you can do within your capacity, you do. And when Nuh alayhi salam, he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the flood comes, and only a handful of people accepted Iman and Islam. My question to you is, would you say Nuh alayhi salam failed? That's my question to you. Did he fail? But there's only 80 people. Majority of the people didn't believe in him. He didn't get a superpower. He didn't have a government. He didn't have a regime. He didn't have weapons. They were in the minority. There was only a handful of people. Was Nuh alayhi salam a failure? Never. Never. We all know, we believe that Nuh alayhi salam, Allah said it, وَلَقَدْ سَبَقَتْ كَلِمَتُنَا لِعِبَادِنَا الْمُرْسَلِينَ What? إِنَّهُمْ لَهُمُ الْمَنْصُورُونَ Similarly, after that, Hud, Surah Hud, we have the Prophet Hud alayhi salam. Prophet Hud alayhi salam comes to his people. This is Quran. This is Quran. Quran gives you these lessons. They're not just stories. Hud alayhi salam comes to his people. He invites his people. The people swear at him. The people mock him. He shows the signs of Allah. The people refute him. The people reject him. And they don't want to know. And what happens? How many people believed in him? A minority. minority again, just a handful of people. Would you say Hud alayhi salam failed in his mission? Never. Never. He was successful. He was victorious. He had the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the story of Salih alayhi salam. Surah Hud makes mention of the Prophet Salih alayhi salam. Prophet Salih comes to his people. He invites them. He reminds them. He even shows them a miracle. They wanted a pregnant she-camel to come out from the mountain and give birth. He said, is that what you want? Will that make you believe in Allah? They said, yes. And what did he do? He turned to Allah. And the miracle transpired. And what happens? Despite this, they rejected him. They disbelieved in him. They mocked him. They ridiculed him. They swore at him. They rejected his call. They called him a liar. Would you say Salih alayhi salam failed in his mission? No, never. You will not say that. We know that despite all of this, Salih alayhi salam comes out victorious in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we have the mention of Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam. He comes to the people of Madian and he reminds them and he tells them, don't cheat. In your measurements, you must be fair and just. Don't take more and give less. You must be honest in your dealings. Be truthful. And the people said to him, oh Shu'aib, we don't consider you anyone big in our community. We consider you a very low life kind of person. These are the kind of words Shu'aib alayhi salam had to encounter from his own people. And despite this, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. I ask you, did Shu'aib alayhi salam fail? Because today, in our time, when we see a little bit of difficulty, a little bit of a challenge, we end up giving up. It's not working. What's the point? Is it supposed to be like this? How come everyone's not following? What? Nothing's happening anyway. Look at the prophets. Prophet after... There is no prophet you will read about. Even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yes, we find that years later, yes, Islam spread far and wide. But during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Palestine wasn't liberated. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam left the world, he left the world in a way that Palestine was still under occupation. Wasn't liberated. Islam hadn't spread to the four corners of the world. America, England, Europe, Islam hadn't reached these places. Now, alhamdulillah, we find. But did that stop him? Will we say that he wasn't successful in his mission? That's not how it works. Victory isn't defined like that. This is why I mentioned the statement of Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. That victory is not what you just see. Victory is much broader than that. As long as you are doing what Allah wants you to do within your capacity and you die in that condition. Remember, death for Muslims isn't a defeat. For Muslims, death isn't defeat. Many prophets were killed. Would we say they were defeated? Or did they die victoriously pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? On the day of judgment, is Allah going to say to them, how come you don't have any followers? Why did only two people follow you? Have you ever heard that the criteria in the court of Allah is going to be on numbers? Because we're living in the age of social media, we think it's all about how many followers and how many tweets and how many reposts you have. In the criteria of Allah, it's nothing like that. Have you ever heard that on the day of judgment, Allah will rank the prophets according to how many people followed them? No. It doesn't work like that because that's out of your control. And Allah will never burden you with anything that's beyond your capacity. Allah's not asking you to go and liberate Palestine. Allah didn't ask you that. But He did say work towards it. Work towards ending injustice. This is what Allah will ask you. Did you exert all your efforts and your energies? Everything that you could do. Look at the incident of Lut alayhi salam. Lut alayhi salam calls his people. He's a nephew of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He invites his people. And what happens? He's compelled to come to a stage where he's seeking some kind of strength. Like, give me some power. An awi ila ruknin shadid. I wish I had some kind of strength, some kind of power that you can rely on. But there's no one, there's nothing whatsoever. And what happens? The destruction arrives. And not only are his people destroyed, even his wife. Even his wife. How many people believed in the Prophet Lut alayhi salam? فَمَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ Quran says. Hardly anyone. Despite that, we will not call him a failure. Did these people give up? Did these prophets think no one's listening? Let's just stop doing what we're doing. Let's do something different. Or did they persevere? They continued for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Why didn't they stop? Because not only were they prophets. Yes, they were prophets, of course. So we know they will never fail. But at the same time, subconsciously, many a times, what happens is subconsciously, why do we not say the prophets failed? Number one, because of course they are prophets, and prophets don't fail. Allah has promised that they will always be victorious. But at the same time, you have subconsciously told yourself, and you believe that the outcome wasn't in the hands and in the control of the prophets. You believe that, don't you? So why is it when we believe that regarding the prophets, that the outcome wasn't in the control of the prophets? Who's the outcome in the hand of? Allah. Why don't we believe that for ourselves? Why do we think that if I can't make the biggest change in the world, there's no point of me doing anything? Many of us have told ourselves this story. Whereas when it comes to the prophets, we believe, we subconsciously believe that these prophets were ultimately successful. They were not failures. Why? Because their job and their task was to strive, was to make an effort, not to bring about the change, because only Allah can bring about the change. So their role was to continue striving. Nuh alayhi salam, even though he noticed people were not listening to him, he continued giving the da'wah. He continued spreading the da'wah. And when we come to Musa alayhi salam, look at Musa alayhi salam, again the mention in the Quran. You will find when Allah told Musa alayhi salam to flee from Fir'aun and his army, he didn't go up to a mountain. He could have gone up to a mountain, and that's where you normally hide. You go into a cave and you hide. He went to the sea. He went to the sea. And this tells you, Musa alayhi salam didn't know what the outcome is going to be. He didn't know. He wasn't aware. Despite being a prophet, he didn't know. He didn't know. You're not supposed to know what's going to happen tomorrow. That's just how it is. We don't know when liberation will come. We don't know when they will get freedom. We don't know when the siege is going to end. Allah knows, and Allah will do it when the time is right in the knowledge of Allah, not in my and your knowledge. What is our role? Musa alayhi salam, when he arrived there, the people said to him, what are you doing? You're going to get us killed. Why would you come here? What did he say? He responded by saying what? Inna ma'iya rabbi sayahdeen. My Allah is with me. Allah will guide me. I'm doing it for the sake of Allah, for the cause of Allah. Allah has told me to strive. I am striving. And I believe that Allah will not leave me alone. And this is what you and I need. We need to understand who is Allah and how Allah works. We've lost this idea. We're looking towards materialism. We're looking towards the things of this world. We are believing in the powers of this world without realizing it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Musa alayhi salam, he runs and he believed that what his duty was to convey the message of Allah, and the outcome is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at Badr, for example. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's heading towards Badr. And what happens? Did he know what the outcome was going to be? He didn't. So much so, he goes into sujood and he says, oh Allah, if this small group of Muslims is not successful and victorious today, nobody will worship you on planet Earth. There'll be no one left. It tells you the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't know the outcome. Despite this, he carried on striving and did what was within his capacity. And this is what he encouraged the people to do. Carry on making effort. My question to you is, how do you view Allah? What is your opinion about Allah? How do you think about Allah? And shall I tell you what we are thinking now? Most of us, we are thinking that the help of Allah hasn't come. Allah is withholding his help. He just doesn't want to help the Muslims anymore. This is what we think. This is what we think. Allah's withholding his help. He's not sending his help to the people at all. People are dying. In the last 24 hours, more than 100 people have been killed in Rafah, including many children. How many thousands are still under the rubble? You can see the starvation. You can see the hospitals closing down. You can see there is no fuel remaining. And people are in a dire state. So what do we think about Allah? What is your opinion about Allah? What is Allah's role in all of this? As a Muslim, I ask you a very personal, private, intimate question. What is your opinion about Allah now? Where is the help of Allah? Is Allah even helping? Why has Allah's help not come yet? Has this question come to you? Yes? No? Where is the help of Allah? Why is the help of Allah not coming? Why is Allah withholding His help? People are dying. People are starving. What we need to do is correct our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Correct our view in regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Learn through the Quran who is Allah and how Allah works. Let me tell you, Allah's help came even before you asked for it. Allah's help came even before you asked for it. Allah is with the believers. Whether you ask Him or not. Yes, you can ask Him, and that will increase and make it even better, because you need Allah. Allah doesn't need you. But you may abandon Allah. Allah will never abandon you as long as you are a believer. Allah's help is already here. We are already seeing the help of Allah. You might say, where? Show me. All I can see is destruction. All I can see is death. Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says, if someone dies and they die on Islam, isn't that the help of Allah? What more do you want? You're going to go to Jannatul Firdaus. Isn't that victory? Or is that a failure? Is that victory or a failure? If you die on your cause, you are unwavered, you are unshaken, you are steadfast, isn't this a victory? So Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was with you even before you asked for His help. And when you see Allah as your ally, when you see Allah as your protector, remember, no effort goes unwasted. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. Allah says, your efforts will always be rewarded. When you believe that Allah is your protector, when you believe Allah is your guide, when you believe Allah is your helper, Allah is your nasir, Allah is your mu'in, Allah is your wali, Allah is your raqib, Allah is with you. You know, look at the ayat of the Quran and find where is the ma'iyah of Allah. Who is Allah with? You will find that the Quran mentions that who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. You will find there are a certain type of category of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with. So the first thing is, a believer doesn't lose hope. A believer doesn't fall into apathy. A believer doesn't become helpless. Rather, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows your and my condition. Allah knows the condition of the people of Gaza and Rafah right now. And Allah knows your and my condition right now. Allah knows our struggles. Allah knows that we've got work. We've got children. We've got events going on in our families. Allah knows there's wedding season coming up. Allah knows our needs and our desires. Allah knows how challenging and how hard it is for you and me to speak about the cause of Palestine. Allah knows. Therefore, anything you do for the cause of Allah, even if it looks small, it is highly appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it will be immensely rewarded. Allah knows. People might not appreciate you, but Allah is a being. He's alimun khabir. He's sami'un basir. Alimun bidhati sudur. Don't we believe these things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Allah knows your situation. Allah knows your struggle. Allah knows you're finding it difficult. And despite that, whatever you are doing, it is being appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you die in a condition that you're pleased with Allah and Allah is pleased with you. Isn't that victory? Isn't that the help of Allah? Can somebody choose to die in the pleasure of Allah without Allah's help? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, two things I'm going to end with. Number one is, we have Allah. We have Allah. And even our deceased, whether they be martyrs or not, we know, we believe, قَتْلَانَا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَقَتْلَاهُمْ فِي النَّارِ. Only Muslims can say this. Our dead are in paradise. And their dead are in hellfire. Nobody else can say this. We are Muslimin, alhamdulillah. Only we can say this. قَتْلَانَا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. وَقَتْلَاهُمْ فِي النَّارِ Inevitably, we all have to die. And if you die, you're pleased with Allah. Allah is pleased with you. This is the greatest victory that you can ever achieve. Number one. And number two, the second belief we have, as believing in Allah, we also believe in the Akhirah. We believe that we're doing what we are doing for the greater cause. I just want you to, you know what? It's very easy for you and me to get bored, to lose interest, to get sidetracked. How long are we going to carry on? I know it's prolonged. It's prolonged and it's hard. It's a struggle. It's difficult. How do you keep carrying on? Well, you and I need to keep motivating ourselves. If nothing else works, then what I want you to do in your private moments, when there's nobody else, just you and Allah, I want you to close your eyes and think and imagine that every time you speak up for a just cause, especially the cause of Palestine, for Gaza, for the people in Rafah, when you are standing up for human rights and justice to prevail and put an end to the genocide, whether it's in marches, whether it's by boycotting products, whether it's by abandoning a life of sin, or speaking up for the truth when it's required, regardless what it is, what I want you to imagine is when you die, you arrive on the Day of Judgment, and the 20,000, 30,000 martyred children of Gaza come rushing to collect you. I want you to imagine this. They come and appreciate your efforts. They come and tell you, come into Jannah, and Allah has mercy on your condition. Just by seeing this, they will all be pulling you from each side, that you stood up for us when nobody was standing up for us. You raised your voice when nobody was raising their voice. Imagine the mothers who have lost their children. Imagine the grandparents. The journalists will come to your side. The doctors from the hospitals will come to your side. The aid workers that have been killed mercilessly, they'll be standing as a shaheed. Shaheed means martyr. Shaheed also means a witness. The shuhada, yes, they are shaheed for themselves. And there will be a shaheed, meaning a witness. Antum shuhada Allah fil ard. They will bear witness and testimony for you on the day of Qiyamah. If nothing else motivates you, let your iman motivate you that we live for a greater cause. On the day of judgment, when you stand in the court of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows your condition. He knows your circumstances. And if you have made an effort, ensure, know that no effort of yours, Allah will never allow it to go unrewarded. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Inna Allah ma'al ladhina taqaw, wal ladhina hum muhsinun, wallah ma'al mu'min muttaqeen. Inna Allah ma'as sabirin, meaning as-samidin, those people who persevere. Allah is with you. Allah is with you. We're waiting for the help of Allah. Allah's help is already with us. Aren't you seeing it throughout the world? If this is not the help of Allah, what is it? It doesn't have to come in the form that you think. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to continue to persevere. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.